You ask me where to begin. Am I so lost in my sin? You ask me where did I fall? I'll say I can't tell you when. But if my spirit is lost, question, I'm not alone. Somehow I'll find my way home. My sun shall rise in the east, so shall my heart be at peace. And if you're asking me when, I'll say it starts at the end. You know your will to be free is matched with love secretly. And talk won't alter your prayer. Somehow you find you are there. Your friend is close by your side and speaks in far ancient. Wish will come true. All seasons begin with you. One world we all come from. One world we melt into one. Just hold my hand and we're there. Somehow we're going somewhere.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everyone, wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome to the show. This is Straight from the Heart, and I'm your host, Juliana. I have a wonderful guest tonight, and my guest tonight is James Horick. James has an information-packed blog, emvsinfo.blogspot.com. covering a massive volume of subjects which will inform and educate us all to the realities and, yes, to the solutions, too, as well. So tonight, due to the many subjects which James would like to cover, we're going to create, and we have created, Straight from the Heart, two-hour special. And James shares with Earthbound Humans his knowledge of man's off-planet origins and gives us a refined cosmology to educate and free humanity from control and tyranny. He explains the task-driven purpose of the EMVs, electromagnetic vehicles, extracting surplus energy from our sun, and reveals how ET civilizations are helping us prevent total annihilation of our species and the Earth. So, welcome, James. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we have a lot of incredible information here tonight to get out to the people. So I guess what we'll just do right away is just jump into the questions, and thanks a million for coming. I've been waiting for this for a long time, to hear this truth.
Well, thank you very much, Juliana. You've given me a very glowing welcome.
You deserve it.
Well, thank you.
Okay, let's start off with this, James. You stated that it's vastly more important for any civilization aspiring to be a part of a more cosmic community to overcome their technology. What technology were you referring to?
Primarily that which weaponizes everything that it can pervert and avoid solutions that are beneficial to the bulk of the population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you discuss the many distractions and devices, agendas, so forth, which is being put into place, created in action to thwart our advancement from our quest, you know, to become part of this cosmic community, as well as who are the ones that profit from this attack on we the people here on planet Earth?
Well, I wouldn't say profit. I think that they, in their own mind, believe that they are exploiting a product that that they want to control. They look upon us as property or chattel. That's even in some of the charter documents, which comprise a number of social contracts coming out of the Magna Carta.
Why do they consider us chattel?
Well, primarily because ever since that there was a cartel formed with international banking and loaning became a device to control nations in the war, one of the forms of collateral that has evolved from that is people, to look upon them as, and what they own is chattel or a collected commodity to be taken up or to be foreclosed on in the long term.
So, do you feel that social change is possible with such great opposition and with an attitude towards us like they have?
Social change is possible. It can be a matter of evolution, or it can be a matter brought by bloody conflict. I don't want to see bloody conflict any more than anyone else, but when social opposition, and there are formulas related to this, when social opposition reaches a point where technology has been propped up basically to maintain a structure like a police state, for instance, or you have more concentration on a palace guard to protect policymakers who know they're committing criminal acts against the populace, you have created a situation in which a cyclical phenomena occurs, which invariably leads to a, if it's worldwide, an extinction. And the only way to this time around, there is a possibility that can be undone, that inevitability can be undone, if the facilitators, the professional people that are employed by the globalists to implement their monstrosity called the New World Order, if they see they have no place on the survival ticket. And some are. I received some information today that there are people who I would say are of the facilitator class, the professionals, like scientists, engineers, structural engineers who build the underground facilities, like people that develop, do the genetic research to create diseases which they think they can control. All of these people realize that their days are numbered just like anyone else's, because when these people go to rewrite history, they don't want the evidence left. They don't want witnesses. And there are a number of people up until now that did not know what the long-term objective was of the work they were doing, because their profession was compartmentalized into tasks. Or the security classifications were so confining that no overview was had except by those at the very top.
So those that on the lower ranks, they didn't realize that what they're doing to the little people, us, was also going to be done to them eventually too.
Well, that's coming out. I received something today which a number of people are receiving inside information from facilitators or from retired facilitators. And these facilitators right now are heading for the hills. They've got communities in Appalachia and Colorado and other mountainous places where there are caves and so forth where they can build their communities. They've already stocked with food, ammunition, and guns to survive what's coming because they know. And so they've already started heading for the hills. And there are some of them that haven't. And the reason they're giving is what I've said all along. They know that these settlements that they have in these secluded areas are going to be, when the monsters come back from their billeted holes deep in the ground, when they come out, they're going to do these people in. That's part of the agenda, too. And some of them have figured it out. Of course, some, you know, still hoping against hope. But that's the way it always ends. I've seen this before. And I predicted this some time ago and have spoken about it because I want the facilitators to understand that they are digging their grave just as much for themselves as they are for us.
When you say what's coming, what do you mean by that? What is coming? What is it that they're running to these holes for, these underground tunnels that they've built their places to hide out in?
Mass depopulation.
Excuse me?
Mass depopulation.
To the little people.
Well, everybody that's not in one of their deep-based holes in the ground. Everybody. 95% of humanity or more.
And that's what they have planned to do to the rest of us.
Yes. They talk about it. They sublimate it. People like Bill Gates, Ted Turner, they've talked about this publicly. They're quite proud of it.
Is that the reason of Georgia Guidestones?
Yes. That was when they went brazen. That was when they took the gloves off. And that was when I was expecting a number of the facilitators to do what they're doing now. We've had massive kill-offs of microbiologists, of astronomers, that, you know, once they found out, they didn't want to go with the program, but they knew too much.
Right. So, there's so many people out there that are waking up now, and they're all talking, James, and they're discussing the problems, but rarely you find anyone that has any solutions. From your experience and vision, insight into this, could you share with us some of the solutions to the many issues, you know, that are holding us back? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm hoping that that common sense will reign even among the elite. I mean, most of them are lost causes, but they might clue into the fact that they're even more expendable to the people that are at the top of the pile, that are just above the facilitators. They're needless. The people that are calling the shots with the technicians and the scientists are the ones that have no more use for this elite than the elite has for the useless eaters. That's what they call us. And I'm proud to be a useless eater just like all the rest. I wouldn't be anything else.
Exactly right. So the ones that are in on this, they're beginning to awaken to what's really going on. And
yes. We,
the little people that they call us, useless eaters, we see Mother Earth and civilization threatened by all of this that they're telling us, oh, it's progress, you know. What they're doing now to the Earth and to mankind, this is going to affect the elite as well. So you're saying that some of them are finally awakening to the fact that they're in the frying pan like us, and so are they going to be coming forward and bringing the truth to us to stop this in some way or what?
I am hoping that they will defeat particular mechanisms tied in with genocidal programs to begin the depopulation. They've got a number of weapons. They've bragged about them. They've let leak a number of things about Black Plague, diphtheria, even a version of smallpox, sound weapons. The most devastating weapon to use on the unsuspecting populace is a sound weapon. And these sounds, these booming sounds that were heard, pardon me, just last year, I believe they were, for the most part, maybe not all, but I caught some of them clearly enough. They are testing sound weapons. Now, these weapons can kill in a matter of minutes, and they can kill over a large range. It's just a matter of the final adjustment, the final attenuation of the frequency. But they have them, and they know how deadly they are. They even have modifications where if you are in a sound room or whatever and they can get the vibration through, coming through the wall or whatever, and you don't know how to take countermeasure against it, which I'll tell you how, that will be deadly. But these are madmen. These are people that have been paid or have been paying with your money researchers to come up with newer and more efficient ways, more broadcast ways of asserting control over you with mind control, with opinion farming through the media, with so many other things. And you know, the end result, of course, is as you grow more and more immune to these methods that they have, you become more and more problematic. Look, just recently they had a false flag, this so-called Sandy Hook massacre. Right. People are not buying it.
Right. People are getting wiser.
They're not buying it. The false flags, the Aurora Theater, the people are just simply not falling for it anymore. And when President Obama made the move to grab all the guns, which that's the objective, and it's a rather short-term objective, when he made the move to do that, opportunizing the moment, it became clear to so many people that until then would not have agreed that gun grabbing was part of the global takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Even though so many of the researchers that have worked for CFR, for Westinghouse, for RAND, have written about this now for 50 years. The steps that would be employed to establish a world government. And they all list the same things. And they are the most monstrous and inhuman imaginable. And they were planning this back in the 50s. So,
yeah, it's right there in our face. I mean, everybody should... People are seeing it and experiencing it, but it's so many people that still don't understand what is really going on. I mean, the economy is falling apart. The earth is polluted. We have lost of all our rights. Our bodies is, you know, being toxified. And
well, let's look at the deindustrialization of the former industrial countries. We have had good economists. We've had them in grade schools. We've had them in high schools. We've had it in college. It's real simple formulas for maintaining a healthy economy in a nation. Number one, you don't buy more than you produce. You maintain as close to a zero the balance of trade deficit as you can.
Right.
So once that you pass NAFTA and GATT, and that industry leaves, the job slave, you're suddenly buying at a geometric ratio more and more at a loss of how much you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
You can't balance the books. Well, mm-hmm. here is what the social engineers, the people that work for big corporations, namely more than anyone else, the cartels, this is what they told the economists. Oh, well, don't worry about formulas. Don't worry about balancing the sheet. We have the petrodollar. That'll make up for sound economic practice and principle, because we have got all these nations in the Middle East agreed to buy all their oil from us with American dollars, so we can prop up the American dollar indefinitely. Well, that's what they told them. They never intended to prop it up indefinitely. They intended, when the time was right, to pull the rug out from under the American economy, because America is their biggest threat. America is the one nation that won't give up its guns. So they have to do it a different way. And this is how they're doing it.
So it appears, though, that there's a lot of states stepping forward now from what I'm reading on the net and saying that they're going to stand by the people and that they are not going to give up their guns.
Hence that we go to Plan B.
Yeah, and that's sad. That's a very sad situation. So, how in the world did this state of affairs, this atrocity upon us all, how did this develop? In the way it has, James. How can you explain this to the listeners so that they can understand how did this all happen?
Cartels, beginning with the banking cartel. The banking cartel was made possible by the Catholic Church giving a monopoly on lending to the Jewish people. Now, I am not going to denigrate the Jewish people. I don't like Zionists. I think that Zionists are an aberrancy. But I know good Jewish people that are embarrassed by the Gaza ghetto. I know that there are many of them that follow the Torah, not the Talmud. I know that many of them are not war-making or war-mongering, but we're not speaking for those that are. Those that are follow the Talmud. They look upon everyone else as subhuman, and they act like it. So this is a form. This is a microcosm of the macrocosm of inbred elitist narcissism, something that is promoted,
mm-hmm.
and something that is tailored into the young.
Right.
The elite observe primogeniture, which means that the eldest son in a particular family has absolute control over everything. And this has been true prior. Well, it's been true in feudal states now for all the way back to the Roman Empire. But feudalism is the model the cartels are based on. If you can control a commodity, if you can control how much of it is produced, you can control the market. You can control the price. You can control the availability.
Mm-hmm.
Diamonds, a good example. Diamonds are common. There are exceptional rare diamonds, but nobody can afford those. Not any of us useless eaters.
Most people can't afford to eat anymore, much less diamonds.
Exactly. Well, diamonds are plentiful. They're 100 times more plentiful than the De Beers want you to know. The De Beers own the diamond cartel.
Right.
So they don't want anybody overproducing diamonds, flooding the market, and so forth. And I can tell you a lot of stories about that. And they are constantly making sure that certain pipes, diamond fields, are associated with a geological formation called a pipe. They've known that there were pipes in Canada, northern Canada, for a long time. They finally found them. Guess who was there to make sure they weren't developed? The De Beers.
Uh-huh.
They have a pipe in they have three pipes in Arkansas near Murfreesboro. These produce some of the finest diamonds there are. They're denser and more of them are colored. But the De Beers are there to make sure that the people that go in to hunt these diamonds, see, it's kind of like a tourist attraction, but you do have a chance of finding a good diamond. Some people do. So they go in and they make sure, the De Beers make sure that the good parts of these pipes are never turned up.
Well,
and about 5 years before the Soviet Union capitulated, the Soviets began developing ways of prospecting and mining, placer mining, the tundra, the permafrost. Further north, the permafrost of Siberia. And they were getting so many diamonds, they were putting them in 55-gallon drums.
Wow.
They started cutting them. They couldn't put them on the market, so they were selling them as cubic zirconia. And people were wondering, well, why is it that a diamond detector can't detect these? It reads them as diamonds, because they were.
They really were, and people were getting them and not knowing that they had the real thing.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You know, James, it's like this. It's like with science, you know. I mean, there is so much money that is being given to the research in science, but we never really get the true results. We never really get the true answers. Why do you think that the powers that be feel that, you know, they need to do this? And do you feel that if we knew the real truth, that they would feel threatened by that also? I mean, do they feel threatened about everything with us?
You go in any direction, absolutely any direction, whether it's archaeology, geology, paleontology, even if it's the medical science. You go in any direction, and if you're a good, thorough researcher, you're going to find things so compelling, they threaten the pharmaceutical companies, or they threaten the cartels, they threaten companies that have patents that are imperfect, and your patent, for instance, or your find, or whatever, could threaten to reveal that their patents are not good. And, you know, the elite operate on this basis all along. After the Civil War, when the patent office first was formed, when people that were in the international banking community began financing these big corporations that were spreading out, building railroads, starting to produce some of the earliest forms of the telegraph and so forth, light bulbs and things like that, the patent office began issuing patents so that these patent rights could be protected. Well, they had a little darling, the industrialists had a little darling that they used to control technology so that no technology would develop that would threaten their cartel. And what they did is they used Thomas Edison. He had a factory of inventors, and they would allow him to have a patent granted based on no working model, not even a very good feasibility of one. because he was their darling.
And so this goes all the way back to Thomas Edison?
Oh, indeed it does. It goes back further than that. Actually goes back to the first social engineering, large-scale social engineering that occurred on the modern frame, well, in the modern way, was a Reconstruction in the South. With Reconstruction, and of course Lincoln didn't want Reconstruction, and that's why he was assassinated. And so, which takes it out of the hands of the Confederacy, his assassination, doesn't it? So, he didn't want Reconstruction, but the Minister of War, Stanton, did. And, of course, Stanton was working for the big banks, the banking cartel in the North, that wanted to exploit the South and use it as a model for how to do it elsewhere. That's exactly what happened in the South. They'd send their carpetbaggers down. The carpetbaggers would come in, buy up these notes, and prematurely foreclose on property and use federal soldiers to back up their illegal theft. They did it over and over again.
Pretty much like what's going on today with people getting foreclosed on and losing their homes.
And some cases when they've kept up their payments, yeah. Because of built-in mistakes with their first mortgage. Of course, you know, one that had been approved by Bank of America or some other big cartel bank.
Right.
There is a cartel, you know, when I say cartel bank, I mean one that's owned by the banking cartel itself, like Bank of America. It is owned by the Rothschilds.
Right. Yeah, I'm real familiar with Bank of America. They're the ones that took my home.
Oh, yeah, well, they've taken many homes. And yeah. they've committed so many illegalities that they should have been shut down long ago instead of being given bailout money.
Yeah, that was another insane act. The people that were raped in the banks were the ones that did it, and the banks were the ones that got the bailout money, and the people were left homeless and on the streets.
Do you realize that if they had taken that same amount of money and they had canceled, used it to pay off all the debt in the country, that everyone would have been bailed out of debt? The banks would have been paid off with it. The only difference being is no one would be in debt.
Mm-hmm. Everybody would have had a clean slate at the beginning, and the whole country, the whole world, everybody would have had a new start. Everything would have turned around, and we would have had an incredible new beginning.
And instead of that, in the smoke screen that went on, in the way the media hid the truth, the mass media, $64 trillion just disappeared into thin air.
Yeah, like it never was been like accounted a penny for. Just dropped in the corner or something.
Never been accounted for. It is beyond belief what the American people have had done to them and what's coming. It's just a matter of time, and they will plan just like they planned the timing of the catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico, at Fukushima, and everywhere else these things happen, because they don't happen accidentally. They happen on schedule.
Right, and now there's that huge sinkhole as well that is in Louisiana that's getting worse and worse every day. Today I was just reading an article regarding that about a video I was watching where it's spread into neighborhoods now, in neighborhood yards where the water is coming up in their yards and it's bubbling, and they say it's the methane, and they're saying that the gas from the methane alone is going to kill hundreds and hundreds of people there, and that's not even getting yet to what is going to happen when this explosion occurs there in Louisiana, because it's going to wipe out hundreds of thousands of people.
We have had two large deep underground explosions that were supposedly just powder magazines, basically, and that we were fed lies about that were so close to the foot of the New Madrid fault zone.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently, we have this. Now, had they had their way, they would have already had a major separation at the foot of the New Madrid fault zone. And they would have their inland sea like so many of these wonderful people have touted in their New World Order maps. What would be ideal for them in North America? An inland sea. And I've seen these maps. I saw these maps years ago, before most people, before the alternative media existed. And I took it as a joke.
Right. When I started seeing stuff like that first on the internet, too, I kind of wondered if, you know, it was just some crazy imagination of someone that just, you know, was just putting it up there just for the sake of putting out videos or whatever. And then I really started to read and research deep into it and pay close attention, and it scared the hell out of me. Is there any way, do you feel that, well, we already know, they want to keep us dumbed down. A lot of the people, though, are waking up, and they are paying attention 100 times more than they ever did before. Do you feel that this can be, James, turned around like I was going to say like it once was, but it seems to me like this has been going on forever. So do you feel or do you know anything that we don't know about, that there is a possibility that we poor little old useless eaters that they call us can turn this around and save the earth, save humanity? Or what can you tell us about that?
Well, this is the last chance to do that. It's not like it hasn't happened before.
Are we doing this, it?
It's you're given more leeway, more time, more consideration this time than you have before. Before it got so bad that before the earth got in such a bad state that no one wanted to live here, the sun did it. And it'll do it again.
What do you mean the sun did it? Did was it from like sun flares or something that caused a fire on the earth or what? What do you mean by the sun did it?
Well, experiments like super colliders, like HARP and so forth, that seems to be the stock trade for a civilization collapsing at the height of technology, misuse mm-hmm. of technology. Mm-hmm. This sort of thing has happened before. It's happened mm-hmm. here. And what happens is that they will eventually do some very stupid things, and the nature will fight back. And nature
right.
fights back. The height of nature is the EMVs. Without the EMVs, there are no systems that can support complex life of any
right.
duration.
Right.
Because you have to have a star.
Uh-huh.
That's the most important ingredient to any system.
Right.
It supplies all the energy that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And life requires energy of any kind.
Right.
So you have to have a star, and these stars are very, very unstable. They have to be formed.
Mm-hmm.
And EMVs are there to form them.
Mm-hmm.
And if something gets so far out of hand that it is judged no one will want to live in the shard, the EMVs are pulled away. And nature takes care of itself.
Oh, okay. That brings me to another question. I've been watching and listening to quite a few of your internet radio interviews, James, and you've been discussing the activities of the electromagnetic vehicles, the EMVs that you just started to talk about around the sun, and the 1,100-year sun cycle, which you said is peaking now and has massive activity. So your relationship with them and humanity, could you share with our listeners what that's all about and share your relationship with them, and how did you get involved with them?
Well, I've always been involved with them. They're my home.
They're your home?
Mm-hmm.
Are you from there?
Yes.
And you remember that?
I remember it all.
What is it like there?
They are so powerful that you have to charge up. You have to give up your body and charge up with energy, just a tremendous amount of energy by laying in the sun, a star. Then you can go inside, and inside are chambers. And they're the source for the intellect of the universe.
Inside of where, James?
The EMVs.
The EMVs? So the EMVs are each individually stars?
No, they're a being that is not sentient, but wise. It has its own. I can't say it's not sentient, because it's not sentient in terms of how we think of sentience. We think of it as having volition. The EMVs are task-driven. I think of them as like cows in a meadow, in a way. If you're good to a cow, they go out, they graze, they come in, you milk them. And with the EMVs are there. They're forming the energy of the sun. They're focusing it. They're providing for what's inside of them, which they dearly love. And when any part of what's ever been a part of them is gone, they are sad for it. And they
what's inside of them?
Souls.
Souls?
Yep.
Many souls in each EMV can consist of many different souls inside of them, or just one?
They have chambers, and in each chamber there could be millions of souls. I've never tried to figure out the count or anything, but I just know that throughout the universe are EMVs, and they're all full of souls.
So is that where we go when we die?
Yes. First you go into a star, and then you charge up with energy before you can go into one.
Okay.
Now you may go elsewhere first, but you always end up, a soul gets cold. I call them spirits. After death, your mind and soul unite and become spirit. And you may not exactly go right into a star, or you might, but eventually you'll get cold. You'll go into one for warmth, and then it becomes completely different. And then you'll be drawn to the community that's in the EMV.
Then there are communities in there?
Oh, incredible communities.
What is it like? Could you maybe explain a little bit about what it looks like, what we do in there?
I've never been in a chamber. I've always wished I could go in a chamber, but I stand at they're kind of like portals, and they're faceted, and I look through them, and I see it looks like when you try to mix oil and water, and you get all these colors, and shine light through it. It's kaleidoscopic mix of liquid beauty, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I feel the surge of emotion and grandeur, just incredible. I can't tell you, but it is it has a great deal to do with the running of the universe, with the purpose of so many things that astronomers have no way of knowing about, sadly.
So is that where we come from when we come to Earth, or when we go to wherever else it is we go at times of a new life? We come from inside of the EMVs and take on a body of whatever world it is that we're going to, that the proper body for that world?
As far as I can tell, and I'm guessing, a spirit will step out of a chamber and anticipate a light wave. That light wave will put that spirit in an egg, in a human being, or
okay.
or in some other sentient life somewhere else.
Right.
And under the right conditions, it will access collective consciousness and genetic knowledge. You don't have that on Earth. And that's the difference between you and ET.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On Earth, you have a artificial set of circumstances that won't permit you the conditions to have a unified consciousness, where you can have access to collective consciousness and a genetic memory.
Mm-hmm. So there, we're just light, beings of light, and then we step out of the chamber, and wherever we end up, whether it's Earth or another planet, we're put in an egg, we're born, we take on a body. Is that correct?
Well, you become the information. You become the data bank for a new being, a sentient being.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fantastic thing, and I think that this is the imprint of sentience right here. This is the secret to it. In other words, you came from a chamber. You did.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Somebody stepped out and gave you what they had, gave you their essence so you could be here. Yeah.
Is this like you're saying you did, but, or are you saying I personally did?
I'm saying you
and
did.
This is something
you did.
That you
I,
know.
I didn't. I wish I had. I wish I had that luxury.
How do you know I came from a chamber?
You had to. Because you're intelligent, you're warm, you have all the qualities of spirit.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's where you got it. That's where you got it. That's where it came from.
Wow, incredible. That one left me kind of speechless, James.
Well, there's so many things about genetics that have been put on the shelf and not studied any further because they didn't go along with the eugenic program.
Right.
They didn't add to the control. They didn't add to one of the things that these abductions are all about, basically, is to make sure that there isn't a new man on the horizon they have to deal with. Somebody that they can't put under, someone they can't control, someone
right.
that won't buy their dumbed down crap.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely afraid of that. So they're what they're doing is they're trying to find out what they may have to face, And then again, they, you know, eventually they find out how to improve their programs of mind control even more. And, you know, build a hostile alien thesis that they want to use to convince us that we have to bite that final bullet and accept just anything so they can protect us from mean old ET, which doesn't exist.
I think a lot of people are getting wise to that, though.
Yeah. I mean, they,
a lot
they
of people are getting wise to that, and a lot of people heard, listened to the different videos that with the information that I think his name was Von Braun, left with his one of his assistants, Carol Rosen.
Yeah,
he left information with her to tell the world that the last card they would play is the alien attack and don't fall for it.
Oh, that's been the first time, the first thing ever published that actually went into any of this, and it went in into it in a big way, was a report from Iron Mountain, which was basically begun as a research project commissioned by President Kennedy to explore the options and the repercussions of peace. If you had a world, a peace at peace, no nations at war, how would it affect the status quo? How would it affect the power structures and everything? He wasn't trying to build a scenario for global takeover, but then he was killed, and it turned into something else. It turned into a blueprint for global dominance. And in it, it lists the steps, the greenhouse effect, which became global warming, the deindustrialization of the industrial nations, and the final step was the hostile alien thesis. Of course, if you try to get a report from Iron Mountain today, it's sold by a hack that claimed authorship for it 40 years after the fact, and who's changed it. If you get a good one, the kind that the poli-science department taught at Michigan State when I was there, and you could buy in the bookstore, so it doesn't sound like much of a hoax, does it?
No, you don't. Well, let me ask you a question about this, the EMVs. You were mentioning up there about the chambers. When you come from the chambers, my question about that is this. If you came from an EMV chamber, like you say I did, is that person watched over by the EMVs that are up there and protected and helped out while they're here on this journey, or is that not permitted?
They don't choose that. A spirit realizes that they are setting forth, and they know that they are coming up, that they may not ever receive the awareness, the full complement of what they have in the chambers. But they are hoping that by the way they develop and the directions that things take, that they can be an asset that wouldn't otherwise be here. And
so they come here to do a specific purpose, mission, on the earth?
I wouldn't know. I if I'm in an EMV and this happens, I am treated like a pariah. Nobody, no spirit will deal with me. Not just walk by me like I'm not there.
Why's that?
I guess because I'm considered part of the machinery. It's difficult to say. There are entire cultures, planetary cultures, multi-planetary cultures that evolved a spiritual technology without going to EMVs. They do it in total. You had one on Mars that was here when humans first came into this system. And that's what they were in the process of doing. It's very rare, but it happens. And they don't want to have anything to do with anybody else. And what they do is when they go into spirit as a whole, as an entire culture, where they go, you won't know, but it means so much to them to maintain their culture that they do this, and it's an incredible thing. But you can't ask me about it because all I can do is tell you that I've known some of these cultures before they went into that, but not afterwards.
But so in other words, if you're an EMV, does that mean that you have reincarnated many times? You've lived many different lives, and you have advanced up the consciousness ladders, for the lack of a better word, I guess I have to say. Or how do you become an EMV?
Well, I have no idea. EMVs are, they're just, E.T. calls them the hand of God.
Wow.
And for better terminology or phraseology, I guess that would be, they can't approach them. And so they know how essential they are. They know that there's so many things they want to do, like the EMVs are essential when you go to control your sun, to develop a means of intergalactic transport, deep space travel. You use the energy of the sun. You can use the energy of the sun to send communications across the universe. You can do so many things, but that step that is required to do that is very dangerous if you don't have the support of the EMVs, because you have to be in the proximity of the corona of the sun, and a CME, a coronal mass ejection, will wipe you out if the EMVs aren't there to protect you.
Right.
We had a coronal mass ejection last year that was so devastating that it would have left Mercury a cinder, and an EMV wrapped itself around Mercury to protect it, and that was on in a SOHO image.
Wow, incredible!
Yeah, they do it all the time. I was telling you about the adventures, the people here are up to, have on the drawing board. And you saw here just a few months ago, they fired an ICBM into the sun. That's the kind of folly that they're capable of.
Was that the EMVs? I guess it was somewhere around November, December, there was a videos out, and it showed this huge, very huge round spaceship that had looked almost like, I don't know what it was, like some kind of a hose or something coming out of it attached onto the sun. Was that them?
That was an EMV.
That was an EMV at the time?
They have. They were. There have been so many things since the EMVs and the sun have been explored as a subject. There have been so many events that have occurred. There was a fissure all the way across the top third of the sun that needed repair.
Mm-hmm.
So within a few days, there were EMVs all over the sun. There must. I think somebody tried to count them and stopped at over 140. And they compressed the sun back, and the fissure disappeared. This is what you have to do with a fusion star. It is an ongoing thing. It's not something that astronomers or geophysicists or astrophysicists want to face. And that's why a very close associate of mine and I put together a three-part series on building a new cosmology that would address and incorporate these anomaly that are put on the shelf and ignored by astrophysicists today.
Right.
In order to break away from myth, that break away from archaic traditions, and to demonstrate that there's a design in solar or in any solar system that is capable of sustaining a sun, and that it's no accident. These planets are not even formed by accident. It's not a matter of time and indefinite amount of time and astrophysics. It's a matter of design. Everything is designed. It all has intelligence behind it. Even energy, if energy sustains itself at a particular level very long and in duration, there is intelligence involved. There's consciousness involved.
Mm-hmm.
A star that is surviving billions of years does so because of a consciousness that is acquired by design.
Right. You said that there are EMVs on Earth that came here on Earth. I mean,
yes.
They look like they're us. They're human. They look human anyway. We think we're human. We don't know anything about it. My question about that is this, James. Do you have any information or do you have any idea why they came here? Did they come here specifically for these times to help to turn all this darkness around and bring it back to the divine source way, since they are looked upon and called by the ETs as the right hand of God? Are they sent here by God for these times to make a positive change and save the earth this time from going through what it has gone through other times before?
It doesn't benefit anyone, including the ET communities that exist in this system, for the earth to fragment. The last lineage before this one created a problem which required a group of EMVs you have to understand that EMVs can change size, they can adapt appendages, they can do whatever is necessary to achieve a task, just about. And so there's an operation that has been longstanding in Utah. And this is a place that was deemed subtle enough to use, and it's quite an operation. And it's visible at night. You can go to one area and actually see the appendages operating above ground, driving engines that are deeper down just above the mantle so that the earth is held together and doesn't come apart.
And you can see this?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I had always had a rather odd life, and in the late 70s, I was in this Ridge Valley, and had my awakening fully.
There?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was an experience, and I can only describe it in terms that I was very tired that night. I was coming back. It was late in the morning, and was coming back from Grand Junction with supplies for some people down on a placer claim on the Little Dolores River, just up from the cut where it conjoins with the Gunnison in the Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very tired, and I pulled up on this ridge. Down below was this wash. And after I pulled off, then I was starting to get in the back of my little Datsun 510 station wagon. And I saw these. They looked like just ordinary UFOs. Say maybe 60 feet in diameter or whatever. There was a whole stream of them going two ways. So you go down to this tower rock and then come back, go behind a bluff. You know, I could see over 20 of them at the same time.
Well.
So I just started walking down the incline to this wash, and they formed a V. But this had happened to me before, but it was a threat before. This wasn't, and I knew it. So I felt like, well, you know, I walked back, and I don't know if I was under my own control at that time or not. I got into the Datsun and went to sleep. Slept very well.
So you don't know what happened? You don't know if you were on board the UFOs or
no,
or what?
They weren't UFOs. These were appendages of EMVs, and they were using this motion that they were doing above the wash to drive engines further down in the earth. And they do this. They do this three or four times a week.
So they're literally saving the earth. They're saving everything on the earth.
They are. So I woke up the next morning, and I would think of something like what happened to me when I was in the Navy, like what happened to me when my mother and her brother and her cousin were coming to Texas from New Mexico when I was four. Like all these things, they just fill in. Bang. I knew everything. Then I started thinking about what these were. And then, bang. You know, it just like the tailgate fell and all the hay fell out of the pickup bed. That's what it was like. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm starting to And for the next 2 years, I got an education of my past, and it was something. And then I began to feel the tug. I feel an emotional tug that goes on several times a day, you know, which is a longing for me to come back. And it's very warm, very touching, very I would say human, but it's more than human, because these beings communicate with emotions, pure emotions. But yeah, they're holding this earth together, because this earth is sadly flawed.
Well, how sad that is, and how scary along with it. Can you give us a little rundown, James, about our ancestral heritage? And the six lineages of humanity. I've been listening to your videos and interviews and stuff and hearing some about that on there. Could you share a little bit of that with us, please?
Well, you came from a system that doesn't exist anymore because of a... I think everything is wrapped in the word singularity, and it's interesting to me how scientists can come up with concepts that are so comprehensive in a word. But, you know, they have a talent for that, not much more. But your ancestors were working on a problem, and that problem was how to take control of their binary system, both their stars. And it didn't work out, and so in a fraction of a second, it was like it never existed at all. Only you had a colony that was coming to a deep space destination, using the moon as both a vehicle and a supply base, The moon had was enriched with a number of formations that would permit you, if you did come to a system that didn't have a particular mineral you needed, it was there. That's why the moon is so rich.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you couldn't travel at warp speed, so this journey was going to take 300 years. And when you were in transit, when you were out about a third of the way, it was learned that the system had become lost. So to go on another two-thirds of the distance without any hope of support, if anything happened, you began to communicate with a very advanced people on Mars. They lived underneath the surface of Mars. And they gave you directions and help you establish your presence on Mars.
Were we human? Were we like we look now? Just like you look now,
only you had unified consciousness.
Okay.
So you come to this system, and these people help you and establish yourself. Mars is not much different than it is now at the time. So they knew that to bring Earth back to a point where it would sustain a population like your ancestors had in mind, sustaining millions of people, they helped place the moon in orbit around Mars. It wasn't the very best ideal moon for Mars any more than it is for Earth, but it was placed around Mars, and it began to drive the mantle. And as the mantle grew, so did the atmosphere, the magnetosphere, what you call the stratosphere, and all these things so that life could flourish. And canals were dug, and these canals were obvious up until the mid-30s on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They were called the canali because an Italian astronomer had named them, and they were green. So you don't hear much of that today.
That's on Mars?
That was on Mars, yeah. They were clear. You could see them with a telescope you could buy. As late as the 1930s here on Earth. Green canal. Yeah. And so, and your people, your ancestors dug them. and they built an artificial satellite called Phobos, which is thought of as a moon here, but they know that it's artificial because it's hollow, it's made of metal, and it rings like a bell when it's hit by anything. So Phobos is protected by ETs because they don't want it falling in the hands of the monsters that run things here, because all of the ancient stone works that have held records of prior lineages have been suppressed by the monsters. They don't want you to know that you had ancestors of other lineages, because you might learn your lesson, since all those records are about what they did wrong and what led to their demise. They left a record for you, hoping that it wouldn't happen to you. And the monsters don't want you knowing anything about that.
Where is that record today?
Well, the only one I know about now, since there were several here on Earth. The last one is a find that they've made in the Busegi Mountains of Romania. But, of course, they've got the Bilderberger Illuminati creep there to suppress it, make sure it's never going to see the light of day. But the one that is being protected around Mars is Phobos. Phobos is the ultimate hall of records. It holds the record of your entire ancestry.
And Phobos is what now?
Phobos is an artificial moon around Mars.
Okay, and that holds our complete ancestry, heritage, information.
Everything. Everything.
Wow. Now, will we ever be able to learn from that?
Well, of course. A probe was sent to Phobos about 20, well, a few years before the fall of the Soviet Union. And it disappeared. And a lady
sent the probe, Russia?
No, the United States. But the Soviet Union filmed the probe from a satellite of theirs.
Uh-huh.
And as it nears Phobos, an EMV comes out and it disappears.
Wow. So what do you think happened there, the EMV?
They protected your Hall of Records
from
the monsters
okay.
that would suppress it. They would
okay.
rather hit it with an ICBM than have you know what's in it.
Right. Right. Huh. Why do we reincarnate? Why do we incarnate?
Well, I don't call it that, reincarnation, because I see a few problems with the way that it's portrayed. But everything that, as far as I know, as far as I can gather, and bear in mind this, I believe in God, but I'm no closer to the face of God than you. In fact, you may have been even closer to the face of God than me, since I've never even been in a chamber. Really?
I wish I could remember that.
I wish I had something like that to remember. But as far as I know, it's in the grand scheme of things to test variation. It's like this. You're in the laboratory and you've got things in petri dishes and you want to test them with different stimuli. So yeah. When one thing starts getting stale or whatever, what do? You kind of give it a little bit of electricity, or you give it a little extra amino acidic acid, or you give it, glycogen or something that kind of peps it up to see what happens. And as far as I can tell, this is part of it. But I tell you, everything's got a purpose. Everything has a beauty of its own. It's only when you interfere with these that things go wrong.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's the...
I agree.
That, you know, the biblical admonition, pride goeth before a fall, it couldn't be truer.
That's absolutely... another topic, James, you know, these days, this is the, everybody's wondering about what really happened, if anything did happen, with this 2012, you know, alignment. A lot of people thought, you know, that when they wake up on the 22nd of December, we were going to be on a new Earth. Everything was going to change. All these wonderful things was going to happen. They woke up, of course, on the 22nd. We're still here, going through the same types of things. And now people are wondering if anything really did happen, or if this was just some big hoax or whatever. Do you feel that the consciousness has expanded and the veil is diminishing to reveal this wicked matrix web thing here over us? And is the planet awakening? Is the whole planet going to eventually awaken? Do you know, have any idea when, how? Is there a paradigm shift? Are we paradigm shifting? Can you tell us about that?
Well, I disappointed a lot of people because I listened to a video of a Mayan shaman, a real one, and what he said I wanted to support. So I wanted to build a favorable expectation, and for some, I think there was they had some benefit, and for many they didn't. But I can't explain that. I just noticed that on the 22nd when I went out, people seemed friendlier and more communicative, and I was too, and I spoke with people. What did happen astrophysically was that the war, the tug that's constant between Earth and the Moon, was lessened for a little while, mm-hmm. due to the alignment, the planetary alignment that more or less neutralized it as much as possible.
Right.
And I felt that that might make a difference, and if people knew that something like that would make a difference, then that would carry over to making them wake up and think about how the tug of war going on between the Earth and the Moon affects their thinking. And, you know, once you know that something is there and influencing you, you deal with it better. That's what I had hoped for. Of course, for some people expected more than that, I'm afraid I gave the wrong impression to some people. I didn't mean to, but
well, maybe
you never
not,
know.
Because I was kind of, I felt kind of let down on the 22nd too. But when I finally went out in public, I guess it wasn't until maybe 2 weeks or so later, I noticed a change, James. I noticed a change in people. They were acting different. For instance, I'd never seen this before where I live here, ever. And I've been here maybe 12, 15 years, something like that, on and off. And I'd never seen the older people so attentive and so loving to one another. I
yeah.
noticed that people were walking, holding hands, and people, they just seemed nicer. And I know that there was a change in me. I felt where there was things that was in me from the past that had caused me pain, that had caused me to feel really badly about the way people treated me or whatever, and I noticed that was all gone. It was like this forgiveness there. It was where the pain was, it now felt, it's okay. There was a peace. So, yeah, I think something really did happen, that, you know?
Well, you know, I sensed a little of that too, and it was a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's see. I've heard from people, James, you know, like Terrence McKenna with the Time Wave Zero, Dr. Carl Callahan, the Mayan Step Pyramid, Greg Braden, Awakening to Zero Point, and just a whole bunch of others, up to the point of December 21st, 2012. They said it was and is linear time accelerating or quickening. Could you explain this for us?
Well, I can remember the term quickening has been used. I think the first time I can remember being used as a concept was on the Art Bell Show. In fact, it was almost a logo for a while.
Right.
And I had a lot of regard for Art Bell. I wish he was still on.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of mind being able to affect matter and time is more than evident. And we have a great deal of adaptability as individuals and as a species. I have talked about genetics being flawed in many ways because genetics looks too closely at a theory and becomes myopic, not microscopic, myopic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about traits that can exhibit from non-phenotypic genetic patterns under stress. And they're not mutations because they can reestablish in the next generation the same trait, the same new one trait. And we have, not long ago, I was listening to a couple, a young couple, that had been brought up around Chernobyl, who had suffered the effects and become stronger for it, and radiation immune. They were talking about sustaining immunity to 6,000 retkins per hour. Now, you or I would just fall over dead, but they thrived on it. And as I listened to their program and I watched some of the things that the young girl showed, she had a chart, and I recognized it immediately. She had a chart that she used as a cipher. And this, if you compare Roman numerals with Arabic, you see how difficult it would be to do binomials or logarithms with Roman numerals. So the Arabic numeral is quite an advance because it can incorporate powers of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine something even better than that. Even in Arabic numerals, powers of 10, and in the binary system, there is a chaos of numbers. But there is a pattern, a uniform pattern, which eliminates the chaos of numbers. And this young girl had solved it. Maybe she did it with her husband. Maybe they did it together. Maybe it was a collective effort. But she was trying to show the person that was interviewing her this. Of course, they had no conception of what it was. I'm looking at it and say, oh, my God, this is a real thing. It convinced me that this couple, they are an evolutionary advance.
You're talking about, is that young couple that we just started to see on the internet in different interviews where they, I think they eat like radioactive stuff?
Yes, yes, that's them. Very lovely couple.
Are they ETs?
No, they are. What is so exciting to me is that they are humankind that has successfully evolved a step higher.
Wow.
To meet with the demands environment put on them.
Mm-hmm.
They can pass, I'm sure they can pass this off to their offspring too. I was listening to them. Not only that, but they have unified consciousness. Both of them.
I saw such gentleness in their eyes.
Oh, there was. Now, they are naive to think that if they place their hands in another country's benevolence, that they'll be treated any better than they were in Russia.
Right.
They may even be dissected.
Right.
Here. The last place they want to come is the United States or England.
But aren't they here now? I thought that they had already arrived here.
Yeah, well, that's sad because they will be, I can't see. This is the kind of thing, what they are and what they represent is the kind of thing that is suppressed, that is the kind of thing that's hidden, that is the kind of thing that's kept secret under the threat of death. So I can't, before this is all over, will have been, they will have worked to try and convince us that they were a hoax, that something, they fell out of an airplane, or that this small craft that they were being taken on to Washington, D.C., had an accident or something. But the monsters don't want you to know that you have the ability to overcome the wonders they can impose on you.
You know, I read something, I think, a week ago or so, and I can't remember where I read it because I'm always doing massive research, but it was about that couple, and I'm almost 100% sure they said that they were already here, and I think they were somewhere in maybe Virginia or somewhere like that, and that the husband had been put in jail.
Probably.
Did you hear about that?
No, but the CIA have their headquarters in Virginia.
You're cutting out really bad. James, I can barely hear you.
I shouldn't have mentioned the CIA.
I guess not. Anyway, how about this one? Okay, James, I felt really drawn to something that I saw, James. It was on your blog, and what it said was, change the world, decide whether we should show up. Now, if you could share with our listeners, who's we, and how many people will it take making this decision before whoever we is come to help us change the planet?
Well, now, this isn't my proclamation.
Okay.
This is something I found, and I reposted it on the blog because I felt that it was important.
Right.
And I felt that it had a biblical parallel with Sodom and Gomorrah, oddly enough. But we, of course, is the extended community. And the extended community has sent emissaries to your world leaders on this planet at least four times, to my knowledge. And a former state legislator, Mr. McElroy, mentioned a brief that he had seen, which detailed one that Eisenhower had with a couple of these emissaries. And there are two versions of it. I think one of them has been condensed down where more details have been lost. But in the first one, he mentions that Eisenhower had been told that they would offer to get rid of the EBs, which are problematic, if they would allow them to. And Eisenhower was advised by the military that was there that, well, no, the EBs give us technology. So Eisenhower said, will you give us technology? And they said, no, we're not allowed to, but we'll get rid of this problem for you. Well, the EBs have been nothing but a problem. And they are an interference. They shouldn't be here because they interfere with the progression, evolutionary progression of your culture.
So, but are they still willing? Are they still willing to help us even after they were turned down by the government?
I had two friends that wanted to know why I didn't try and bring in some EMVs close to Earth to demonstrate. And I said, well, they would be worked into something very fearful, and they would be, because to show what they were and in the capacity that they perform what they do, I would leave them their usual size, which would cover the continent of North America. And that would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Even if they were as far out as the moon, that would be terrifying, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, unless the people really knew what was going on.
Well, the problem is we don't have access to the mass media to tell them.
Right.
If I could challenge and say, will the world? Well, that's an impossibility. They would rather knock out reporters and journalists that were trying to operate within this experiment. It would just cause havoc. Something like this happened once before. Have you ever heard of the 3 days of night?
Is that like the 3 days of darkness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what that was?
What?
Guess what that was?
That was a big ship up above our heads blocking out the sun, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was delivering what these wonders make.
What was it delivering?
A mineral that's vital to the life of every planet.
Oh. And when was this?
Well, it's happened twice. It happened about towards the end of the last ice age, and then it happened about 300 years ago.
Well, maybe we need their help so bad now that it doesn't matter whether people get scared or not. If they're going to come and help us, we need them to come and help us. And after they get here, people will see that they're not going to harm us. They're going to help us because this planet is sure in a big mess. I mean, what do you feel, James? You know that lies ahead for us in the future with humanity, and what are our chances? Are we ever going to, you know, make it through all of this? I mean, what do you know about it? What can you say? I mean, at times it gets so depressing. They tell us to keep our energies high, but I mean, you look around and you see such atrocities. And almost everywhere you look, you see the poverty, you see the homelessness, you see the suffering, the disease, the starvation, the homes being lost, jobs being lost, everything. And people are trying so hard. And the Earth has so many good people, James. There's so many good people here that deserve so much better. Is there anything at all that you can tell the listeners that you can share with the people to bring them some hope? Or is there anything more we can do?
Well, it depends upon, like I said before, first of all, there has to be a support, a knowledgeable moral support that is militant on the outside of the machine for the people inside the machine that have awakened and don't want to comply with this program to come to.
So are you saying that it would take the military to wake up and do this to make this change,
There are people in the military that are aware. If they had a support group on the outside, and there are various groups, look at various groups that have hacked into databanks that, like Anonymous, that know full well what is being done and how it's being done, and want to wise people up. They're
right.
Risking themselves to do it.
Right.
Then there are people on the inside that have put things together in ways where they've caught up with the overview that before only their bosses had, and they know it stinks. They know. And they're beginning to discuss. They're beginning to talk. They're the ones that can make a difference. Because after all, I don't believe the elite stand any more of a chance of surviving than we do, because I think they are considered
expendable more than anyone else. They are a burden to the facilitators at the very top, the generals, the topmost scientists that are necessary, that are not expendable, the people that know the code, that can run Mr. Computer. All these people are not expendable, but Mr. Rothschild is expendable, Mr. Gates is expendable, Mr. Murdoch is expendable. All of these are the real dead weight of the world, because they are such gluttons, they can never get enough. So if you were in the military and you were running these operations and you had talked with other people and worked out this reality I'm discussing with you right now, what would you do if you had a chance to get rid of them? Clean. Clean. All you had to do was cut off their air supply. Huh?
Really?
Well, if you go out...
But don't they realize that? But when you really think about it, they're smart. They're no dummies. They got to realize this. So... the only other thing that I can think of why they are still planning on going down under in their tunnels and areas down there that they got is that they know for a fact that whatever it is that they're going to cut loose on us up here above ground is going to wipe us all out, so they don't have to worry about anybody back up here fighting back.
No, no, listen to me. All of these underground bases have to buffer their air.
Oh, really?
All of them. And where are these located? They're on the surface.
Oh, well, then what we breathe in or what we have on us up here is going to go down through their air vents.
Well, they buffer it. They buffer it. But that's not the problem. The problem is that their sole source of survival is a sitting target, a sitting duck on the surface. And if the facilitators, the people that are in charge of facilitating all this, decide those people are sick, those people are nothing but gluttons, they're pedophiles, they're all of these things because they've indulged every monstrosity they can. They are constantly looking for something even more satanic to do. We don't need them. They're worthless. They're of nothing. What would you do if you were a general and you knew about their dirty underwear, you knew all this stuff, and you'd gone along with the program and taken their crap and everything, and you could pull the final plug on them, wouldn't you do it?
to save my family, yes.
I have the luxury of knowing how often this has happened in the past.
To save humanity,
and
yes.
Six
to
times.
Save the earth, yes, definitely.
No, just to get these people don't think that far. Maybe they will after they hear us talking tonight.
But maybe they need some help understanding this. I know they're bad. I know they're awful. I know they're monsters. I know they've done some beyond horrible things to us all here, including the earth. But, has anyone ever been able to talk to these people? Maybe really sit down and talk to them and give them a chance.
Are you talking about the elite?
Yeah.
They are tailored to be monsters.
Don't they have emotions? Don't they have a heart? Don't they have conscience?
They are tailored to be monsters. Before you get the reins of power to your family, look at Obama. Look at Bill Clinton. Look at Hillary Clinton. They're monsters. That's
a really
what they're
bad
like.
Situation. And
we had a freak opportunity with JFK, but he wasn't the Kennedy that was intended to be in the presidency. It was his older brother who was killed in World War II, and it fell to him. He didn't even want it because he had a severe back injury. But he happened to be a human being with the full complement of conscience. That's not what they had tailored his brother for. They've either got to figure out a way of damaging you to where you lose your conscience, or that you don't have one to begin with. You have, instead of a conscience, you have a damaged aberrancy.
Why do they hate us so? Why do they want to annihilate us? Why do they want to get rid of us? Are we not making them rich? We're working, we're paying our taxes, we're earning money for them.
That's
what I don't understand. I mean,
Juliana,
why do they want to get rid of us?
Juliana, the scandals that have come out about pedophilia being so rampant among them, is an indication of how degraded they've become. The ultimate power is what they're after, and that's the power of life and death over everyone else.
But who's going to do their dirty work for them when we're all dead and gone? It's just going to be them. Who's going to be their slaves?
Oh,
it doesn't make sense.
They'll have a cadre of those because they presume a great deal. They thought they would have bases on Mars and the moon to run to.
Do they?
They did, but they don't anymore.
What happened with that?
They were run off Mars and the moon.
By whom?
E.T.
E.T.? Or the good E.T.s?
They're all good.
Yeah.
They're all good. There are no hostile E.T.s.
Right.
They have done a great deal, a great job with their abduction stuff and the hypnotherapists that they have corrupted to build a myth about hostile ETs. They don't exist.
In order to place fear in us.
Yep. There are EBs that are problematic, but they're not even hostile.
Those EBs, are those the same ones that people call the Greys?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sentient. They're nothing more than, I described them in the most unflattering way that I can think of. They're chunks of meat sewn together with a computer terminal.
Mm-hmm.
The civilization that devised them for deep space travel. And that civilization ended and left some of them roaming out here. And over a period of time, I guess they watched too many Lucille Ball shows. I love Lucy.
ETs the same as what we call angels, or are they different?
No. If there are any angels, it's if there are, that sounds to me like somebody from spiritual technology, which
right.
They have nothing to do with me. I'm a lowly piece of machinery. Really.
Well, talking about that, what's your view, James, on this new spirituality?
Oh, you mean light working and stuff like that?
You know, yeah, you know, a lot of people call it woo stuff, you know.
Well, what I
rising
see...
Rising your vibration and being of the light and, you know, all different kinds of stuff like that.
I see most of it being used as an escape from responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Personal responsibility.
Right.
And,
because they do tell you in it that, you know, you can manifest and all this, and there's so many people getting really let down by, they work at it, but it never works out the way they're being told.
No, No, it's not going to solve the problems.
No.
It's not going to solve the problems. And there's the thing is, when you're dealing with violent people, no amount of woo-woo is going to work.
Exactly.
Too bad. But, you know, try woo-woo on one of these gangbangers and see how far it gets you.
You know what, James? Time with you and I have flown so fast that I still have so much more questions for you. But unfortunately, we're coming to the end of this show. So if you would, when you can fit it into your busy schedule, if you could come back again and we do this another time, even if you could only come back for an hour, that would be so wonderful, because you are a powerhouse of information, my dear. And we're almost to that closing time where we got to sign off. If you, James, have something like any books, any DVDs, anything like that that you have for sale, or you want to advertise your website, your blog spot, and go right ahead and do it, my dear. And the other thing, too, at just before the closing part, is there a little something that you could leave the listeners with tonight, because we all need this so badly, but leave us with some kind of hope in our heart that we're going to make it through this, and maybe what more can we do, because there's so many people out there, James, that want to do something, but we don't know what to do. I mean, I have this show, but, you know, I'm not even sure if people listen to this show, and I'm not even sure, you know, if it's what I should be doing, really, to make a change. I'm just praying and hoping that it will. You know, it will help to wake people up. So if you could do that, I would so greatly appreciate that.
Juliana, I think you are making a difference, and I think there are probably a lot of people listening to you. I would. I'll say this. We're all going to the same place, and you're going to get there to the – you're going to have the most wonderful experience that there can be had. The soul is immortal. I have the knowledge of that. It carries me. It makes me very strong. I wish I could give you the knowledge of that, but I assure you that it's true. And this isn't the end for you. And most of all, the pain of death is very short. It's no big deal. And it's a new beginning. You will have options that you never thought of. You will know what is going on in the universe all over instantly. There's nothing finer than that.
Thank you so much, James. Thank you. I just got cued from my producer. We are all, it's almost over. Just got a few seconds left. Thank you. I'm going to get in touch with you after the show now by email, and maybe we can set up another time that you can come back on, because you got so much to tell the people. Bless you for coming on. Listeners, thank you so very much for listening. I hope this show tonight answered some of your questions. I thank you for listening, and you have a wonderful evening. Bless you all. Good night.